We're going to take a look at Acts chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. Here's the story. Now, when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The temptation to think of ourselves more highly than we should is a pretty strong compulsion in the minds of most people. You can only imagine how tempting it would be for most of us to just cave in when the citizens of Lystra began to worship them as gods. They were so determined to do it that the Bible says a few verses later that Paul had a really hard time persuading them to stop. When Columbus's ships first landed in the Americas, there was a tendency on the part of some of the locals to give godlike status to the newcomers. Not because they were naive or simple, because historical evidence seems to prove the appearance of strangers was less of a surprise to the natives than it was for Columbus's own men. Nevertheless, one tribe described Columbus in glowing terms. In his own journal, Columbus wrote that they, the natives, firmly believe that I, with my ships and men, came from the heavens. Wherever I went, they went from house to house and to the towns around, crying out, "Come, come, and see the men from the heavens." By some accounts, Columbus's crew succumbed to the temptation in later journeys and were quite happy to be thought of as gods. Their moment of glory, however, came to a screeching halt when the Taino Indians decided to put their godhood to the test by shoving their heads underwater to see if they were really immortal. A disastrous end to a moment of weakness among men who should have known better. There's a reason God tells us we should have no other gods before Him. The fact is, nothing else is a god. It's a fact that Paul and Barnabas understood very clearly. Try to imagine the disastrous consequences for both them and Christianity if they had caved into that sort of undue praise and attention. Not only would their personal relationship with God have been compromised, but the progress of the gospel would have been halted, at least temporarily, because God can't use people who think too highly of themselves. Now, think about this story in the context of your own life. How often do we succumb to the temptation to think too highly of ourselves? When we receive a little praise at work, which is perfectly fine because everybody needs to know once in a while that they're doing all right, does it ever elevate our own self-perception to the point where we become blind to our own weakness? How often do we allow our self-esteem, which has become something of a buzzword in the modern pop psychology movement, how often do we allow it to grow our self-image past the point of being appropriate? What damage does that do to our dependent relationship with God? Now, I'm not suggesting that people should become perpetual martyrs filled with false humility, and I'm not suggesting there's something wrong with being pleased with your work, but I am suggesting that there's a difference between being pleased with your work, your contribution, and being particularly pleased with yourself. It's just something to think about, because in the end, staying dependent on God is always going to prove to be a better way to live.